Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, I think if we do one thing tonight here, and this is we educate Alex Teichert about Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers, I think we've done a great service here tonight. I mean, it's great that we're talking about the story a bit, Michigan defensive coordinator likely going to the NFL, but, you know, just getting Michael McDonald in the show and having Teichert go, I've never heard these songs before. Whoa, China Grove, okay. I think that's a good thing for him. He's expanding his horizons.
Well, we also help to educate America. I mean, because now there's an untapped resource of the greatness of Michael McDonald solo. And Michael McDonald with the Doobie Brothers. And if nothing else, at some point, I would have to reference their appearance on what's happening that really gets everybody excited when Rerun starts to dance and then there's all sorts of problems. Scalping tickets and all that stuff comes in.
All we got was an hour of a guy eating popcorn.
You mean I'm going to jail from the kid eating popcorn? Ah, oh, classic.
Oh, I remember that was like, oh, my God, bootleg concerts like the most evil thing in the world. And I would never want to do something like that. It was so, oh, my God, I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life if I record a concert. I'm never going to do that. Oh, it was so scary.
And then you did anyway.
No, I never went to jail. Never
and now you have to bet. Well, you never went.
You're still
on the lam over that whole mailbox thing.
No, but that's not bootlegging concerts and
anything. No. You did that when you went to Foghat.
I did not. I've never been to see Foghat. And TJ, like Foghat, it's been a slow ride to the top for the San Francisco 49ers this season, TJ. No, I've never been to see Foghat. Never seen Foghat.
I think you're lying.
Foghat. I've never seen Foghat. Why would I lie about a contact? I've never seen Foghat, but I did see Harry Hamlin. I told you those stories earlier today. I saw Harry
Hamlin. You got to listen to the whole show. If you missed a scintillating Harry Hamlin story. How was his hair? It was perfect.
I mean, that's a story, yes, I told, because I did see Harry Hamlin, but I never went to see Foghat. I've never been to see Foghat. I'm trying to think the oldest band I've gone to see, and they don't even seem that old. Like when I say I've gone to see Poison, I feel like I went to see them when I was young, and they were young, and now they're like, Poison, that band's been around for 40 years. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, yeah. I saw the Rolling Stones back in, like, in 89, you know, when Mick was, like, 50. That's probably the oldest band I've ever seen in concert.
Well, I went and saw them in October twice. I actually wrote about it on my Find Your Wins space there and the catharsis that went into that. And I tell you, I'd go see them every day of the week if they lined up, man. That's how cool an experience it was.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. And I mean, I went and saw Ian Anderson do Jethro Tull at 50.
Mm. If you think Mr. Mick Jagger is going to be busy being a rock star when he is 40 years old, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Man, now he's doubled.
Yeah, now he's 80, right? How great was that Jimmy Fallon line? It's one of the best lines of Almost Famous. And he's actually doing the moves. You are sadly, sadly mistaken. If you think James Harden's going to get traded by the Nets, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. The big NBA story tonight, amid reports that James Harden was unhappy in Brooklyn, and I'm like, how could you be unhappy in Brooklyn? Everybody I know loves Brooklyn. They love living in Brooklyn. All they can do is tell me how great Brooklyn is, right?
Yeah, it's you're like in Brooklyn.
It's like people that tell me, what's Chicago like? Oh, Chicago's the greatest city in the world. Chicago's got this and this and this and this. Why do you live in Los Angeles? Well, I moved out here for work, but Chicago is the great. If Chicago's that great, why did you leave? Like, everybody that's ever been to Chicago's the greatest city. Brooklyn's everybody. Oh, Brooklyn. I live here. Brooklyn's the best. James Harden apparently wasn't happy in Brooklyn. But was he going to get traded? Now the Nets say not happening. Where his name could have been out there at the deadline, the Nets say they will not listen to trade deadline overtures for Harden. Agent Wojnarowski having this story earlier tonight. And let's face it, whenever you get to use the word overtures, except the trade deadline, right? That's the only time you get to use it. There's no like, oh, the 18-12 overture, I guess. But when you say listen to overtures, it's always, oh, someone's going to wow me for a trade at the deadline, right? That's when you hear the word overtures. So the Nets say they won't listen because they are committed to getting the big three on the court, he, KD, Kyrie Irving, and that Harden wants to stay and win a championship with the franchise. All right, now all of this is kind of moot, whether Harden really wants to stay, really hates Brooklyn. Many times I've told you how Brooklyn puts this thing together with the big three and it's not well thought out, and Kyrie and KD and Harden are basically doing whatever they want to do, right? You know, KD is, you know, playing when he feels like he needs to prove something to all of us. He steps up and has a great couple of weeks. Now he's injured. He's having trouble staying on the floor. He's 33 years old now. He's had big injuries and he's having trouble staying healthy. James Harden is still who James Harden is. He'll give you a lot of stats and he'll get tired at the end of games, especially in the playoffs when you need him the most. He's exhausted. Kyrie Irving shows up when he feels like it, and his presence on the court is at his whim, right? So the Nets have put this together really crappily. But I will say this. I agree 100%. Do not trade James Harden. You went all in to try to put these three guys on the floor, and when they are on the floor together, they blow teams out by 40 points. Right, I mean, they've only been on the floor together twice so far this year because lots of things are happening, and it's only been 15 times so far because I told you it was going to be less than 50 before it all blew up, and how right am I? But when they're on the floor together, great things happen because you can't stop them. But they haven't seen it yet. Before you blow it up, you got to give it the rest of this year to see if it could actually happen, right? You moved heaven and earth to get KD and Kyrie to come to Brooklyn, and then you went all out to get James Harden to bring him here. You need a third superstar. You're trying to push Brooklyn as a new center of basketball. It's not really happening because still the Knicks get the headlines, and the Nets are a bigger story nationally. That's kind of what it is. But I agree with the Nets. You did this to get these three guys, and it's been very frustrating, and I get it. And the temptation to make a trade to say, let's get out of what's not working and get to something else, I see that. But you're near the top of the Eastern Conference. Just see it the rest of this season through. See if KD can get healthy. Something happens vaccination-wise. Maybe his Omicron starts to ebb, and it looks like it's starting to ebb a little bit now, which is nice. Maybe things get relaxed in New York. By the time we get closer to the playoffs, Kyrie Irving can play in New York, and he can play all the time. And everybody's healthy, and the Nets can put things together for one big run in the playoff. You kind of owe it to ride it out for that rather than just making a big trade. I get that it seems pretty easy to do. It's just not working. Let's figure something else out. But you wanted to put these guys together because you thought they could win a championship. You got to give them the rest of this season to see if that can work. And if you get to the end of the year and it still doesn't work, well, then I get it. Then, okay, we tried for 2 years. Guys couldn't stay on the floor. We don't know what's going on with Kyrie. Harden's getting older. KD is injured all the time. Then I get, okay, we tried for 2 years, but you got to give it this year. So I am 100% don't trade Harden. See it through the rest and see how the rest of this year goes.
Well, I just don't know what you trade at this point that's going to help you when you've got so much uncertainty with your other two stars, right? Durant's not walking back in the door next week, right? That's still a couple of weeks out before he's going to be able to go, and who knows what the minutes restrictions are and what load he can take on that early. With Kyrie, right now it's day-to-day, both in health and just availability as they go through the schedule. So what are you getting on the open market that's going to be better? Yeah, you'd love him to shoot better than 42% when you're talking about Harden and what he's brought to the table. He's had some injuries of his own, right? Hamstring injury that's lingering, which is probably going to affect what you're going to get in return for him as well, right? So I think when you look at this entire experiment, I mean, this isn't, hey, we're just blowing it all up and, you know, take anything we have of value and we'll just scuttle for stuff that'll clear a bunch of cap space after next year or at the end of this year and we have a bunch of draft picks. No, you bought all in to this experiment and the Eastern Conference is in such flux, right? The Bulls struggle towards the end, but they get a win tonight. You're looking at Milwaukee is dangerous. Like, that's the team I circle. We watched a little bit of Miami against your Knicks. Sorry, buddy. So where they're at. But the East is still attainable if you can get the convergence of circumstance to actually let you play at full strength. Now, will the basketball gods ever allow that to happen? Maybe, maybe not. But this is what you went all in on. It's kind of like the Rams when we, you know, going between our different sports, right? The Rams are, you know, they went all in, and here we are at the NFC title game, chance to host it here at SoFi, and then the opportunity, you know, playing for the opportunity to host the Super Bowl. So with the Nets, we're looking at the same thing, right? You went in all in on star power, thinking that, you know, you'd have the super friends, yet we haven't seen them actually be able to team up, right? There have been a lot of empty chairs at the Hall of Justice, damn it, Smith. Who the hell
is
that?
Everybody?
Well, Harden couldn't make it. What are you? Well, I'm on page 297 of the DC history. So, I mean, you might be able to figure this out and see my backstory. I was a short-lived comic in the mid-60s, but I filled the seat while James was out.
This is like in The Boys when Homelander is there. Where is everybody? Where are they out doing good? Are they out saving people? How come there's nobody here? Look, if there was a solution that would make things better, right? Like, you could make the trade, like the Sixers would say, okay, you know what? You give us James Harden, we'll give you Ben Simmons. He's healthy, he's ready, we'll give you another couple of players, and we'll do a three-team deal, and you can really get something else for him, then I could understand it. Then I could understand, all right, but is that really going to happen? Or is a James Harden deal going to be, hey, we're going to move around to make the salaries match, and right, it's going to be a dump for one team, and here's a bunch of first-round picks going? You're not going to get better. If I thought you could get better, and a team would make a move long haul, and we're gonna commit to James Harden, I would say, yeah, but that's not in the realm of possibility. That's the only rumor that's going to come up as well. Hey, Harden wants the 76ers. Sixers want to get out from under Ben Simmons. I'm sure they would trade for James Harden. That's the only thing that's going to happen. And really, are the Nets going to make that trade? Are when it comes down to it, they're going to say, we could potentially hand the Sixers the Eastern crown if Harden wants to go there and suddenly he's motivated and him and Embiid are a two-man show and they start beating the crap out of everybody? I can't see the Nets making that trade. So, yeah, so this is really the best solution for everybody. And for everybody, I mean, for the Nets, for the NBA, for them trying to make it work this year. I keep Harden now. This is why you put this together to see how it works. So let's at least see how it works for a little bit before you say, all right, let's pull the plug on it.
Right.
Twitter at @Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name, of course, is Mike Harmon. Phone number is 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. If you miss any of our show, it gets put up right after our show is over. Our Best Of podcast goes up right after we get done, 11 o'clock Pacific time. You can download it. You can subscribe to us. Rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. You can use the iHeartRadio app. You can get it from iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. You can download and listen. And I got it wrong last night when I said our podcasts are up 48% from last year to this year. I juxtaposed the numbers. Our podcasts are up 84%. From last year. This is after a 50% uptick the year before. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you downloading our content. Mike and I, our hearts are wide open. We love doing this for you every night, and this is really something. We just got the numbers in. Our manager, Scott Shapiro, was over the moon with it. It's really, really great. Again, yeah. 84% from year to year. It's just a fantastic thing, and Mike and I are extremely grateful for all of your support here on the show always. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now go tell more family and friends. Like I said, those little holiday cards, just put the URL in there. It's a great gift. Doesn't cost you anything but the card and the stamp.
Holiday,
and you've
holiday.
Given them a gift that 24/7, 365. Because we got to double these numbers for next year. Let's go!
Oh, wow. Look at you. Look, well, at least you got holiday and holiday, holiday, huh?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Neil Young clearly rocked the free world early today by having his music removed from Spotify, TJ.
Ultimatums suck.
It's me or a guy that's making a lot of money in a podcast. Okay, sorry. Thank you for your money. Hopefully you'll come back at some point soon. Oh, boy. You can't, you know, you can't say him or me when you're not sure what the answer is going to be. You can't do that.
Now, ultimatums rarely work, America.
Oh, it's
now, remember, he still owns 50% of his publishing rights. Because there were reports that it's like he'd sold them all. Well, if it's so, then all he's doing is writing a nice letter saying, hey, if you'd really like to. No. There's still some financial interest in all of this.
Oh, but, of course. Yeah, it's a big deal for that. But still, I mean, hey, it's him or me. Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. All right, I'll just leave out this way. You never go, and of course, we're talking about this story. Look, Neil Young, very unhappy with Joe Rogan and his views on vaccinations, being anti-vaxxer, and said, I don't want my music on the same platform, so it's got to be him or me. You can't have Young and Rogan. And, you know, clearly that's an ultimatum that Spotify is probably making more money with Joe Rogan.
Okay, yeah, they're going to look at the bottom line and say, while we may respect your views.
Yeah.
I like the cut of your jib, and old man really is still a jam. Yeah.
That's not going to work. Whenever you give an ultimatum, you have to, because you never want to lose it. Like Neil Young, look.
No, ultimatums usually go terribly.
Right, because
we always think about it in the context of relationships and whatever. We need, you know, it's been years, we've been dating, and I'm not getting any younger, and or this, or you need to get rid of that ugly thing in the corner, or whatever it is, and it just blows up. That means it's hit the point of no return.
Yeah. I knew a guy once in college who was dating a girl, and he just started dating her, and she was dating somebody else at the same time. She's like, listen, I want to, you know, just date casually, and you know, that's what I want. And for a while, the guy was okay with it, and then you realize, okay, well, I know you're dating another guy, and, you know, you're not really keeping it a secret. And even though we had this, you know, we had this thing, I'm not a big fan of it. He said to me, I'm going to make an ultimatum and say it's got to be him or me. And I said, you sure you want to do it? He goes, yeah, I like her, but, you know, I can't keep doing this. And I'm like, okay. I go, you're okay to lose this, right? He goes, oh, I'm not going to lose. I'm not. She's going to pick me. She goes, why would she start dating me after she was dating him? He had all these reasons why she was going to pick him instead of the other guy. She was dating him first. Now she's dating me. Why would she be dating me if she was really happy with him? And I think she's just doing this to make me unhappy or to try to get me to. I said, okay. And I remember saying, I mean, and I knew this when I was 21. I said, all right, be ready when she says no. She's not going to say no. She's not going to say no. I said, okay. She's not going to say no. I said, okay. And then 2 days later, I went up to him and I saw him. And he just looked like he was in a bad mood. And I said, hey, what's going on? And he just says, blank you. And he walks away. And I'm like, whoa, what did I do? He goes, you were right. That's why. Blank you. And he said it again to me. And he walked away. And I go, what, dude? Whoa. I was just, you told me about it. And then he started going through this whole explanation of, yeah, she said to me, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. I still want to be able to date who I want to and date both of you. And if that's not good enough for you, I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, you just lost an ultimatum. He goes, yeah, so now we're not dating anymore.
And then we started fighting about that stupid wagon wheel coffee table.
I don't want the wagon wheel coffee table. That's not how
you
were.
You were his Bruno Kirby.
So yeah, you got to be able to make sure you're going to win when you have those ultimatums. Because you lose, ooh boy,
got to know the rules of engagement. And, I mean,
that's how it works.
You know, you might have made your point, but you lost a little face in this.
Yeah. Yeah, you lost more than that. This is very public. You put it out on social media.
No, but that's
media.
What I mean.
Him or me. Like,
no, but that's it. You lost a lot of that. Fortunately, you'd already sold, I think it was $200 million for half of his publishing rights. So, I mean, that's good.
Oh yeah, he's gonna cry into a pile of money, but still in the court of popularity. Okay, I just lost. I mean, you can keep rocking in the free world all you want, but it's gonna happen for you.
Something tells me he'd gotten past that a long time ago.
Yeah, you can go to parties sometimes until 4. I know it's hard to leave when you can't find the door, but you had to leave this party. It's over for you.
Not a Neil Young song, but that's okay.
It's hard to handle this fortune and fame. Everybody said,
Why are you quoting Joe Walsh? Hold on. Wait a minute.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas, so make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Now, we've had a lot of stuff on the show tonight, and this is something that is, we'll get to Tom Brady in a few minutes, but this is something that is, it's still really difficult to talk about 2 years later. And of course, today, the 2-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, 7 others in the helicopter crash in Calabasas, and a local sculptor put a big sculpture of Kobe and Gianna on the crash site that just went out there earlier today. It's going to stay out there for a while. I don't know if people can go visit it, but you can see pictures of it online. It's right on the crash site, and it's a sculpture of Kobe and Gianna, the names of the other victims, and it's just a day where you sit back and you think back to 2 years ago today. It was before COVID, before anything we mm-hmm. knew what was going on, before the world changed that way. And it still shocks me. I'm still shocked. It's almost like I still don't believe that he's gone, because it's just so shocking that a guy that was so full of that life and such a big star that had just most recently just left the spotlight, but still was doing big things and making money and as a venture capitalist and doing things for women's sports and was still as big an icon as he was when he played. And Kobe Bryant and look, and obviously the other victims as well. But look, Kobe's who we've talked about for a long time and in sports. For almost 20 years, you know, it was about Kobe Bryant. And I still can't believe it. It's like I still can't believe that he's gone. And I don't know that I'll ever feel that way. You know, maybe it's how your mind tries to deal with things. And just to, you know, not to take it into a weird place. But when my mom died, and now it's been, you know, it's been 13 years, and how I deal with that, and how I dealt with that in the beginning, and I still kind of deal with it now, and I'm sure, you know, a psychiatrist would say, well, you can't do that anymore. You know, when she died, I didn't go back for a funeral because Pam was pregnant with Zoe and was going to have her any day, and I had been back in New York after she had a stroke for a month and a half, and you know, I went back, and she died. I said, all right, well, I'm going to come back after. And I know it helped me in the short run, because even though I knew she was gone, and look, obviously I did, I could still pretend that, well, she was just busy working and she was in New York and I'm in LA and I just can't talk to her for a while. And I know that helped me for a while. I don't know if that ever helped me with closure on it. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure a psychiatrist would say, Jason, whoa, you got some stuff you got to talk about. But that always helped me. And I always felt like I don't feel like she's gone. I just feel like I can't talk to her for a while. And that was always a big comforting thing for me. And I could always sit back on long drives or whatever and have conversations with her, because I know what she would say when I would say certain things to her. And as a result of that, I think I kind of feel that way a bit about Kobe being gone. It's like, I just feel like, well, he's doing other things. You know, he's out. He's, you know, he's ringing the bell in Times Square. He's not involved in the NBA. He's doing I just think about him as, well, he's someone that we just don't hear about now because he's doing other things. I know it's a weird thing. It's a weird parallel that I make in my head to that, but that's kind of how I think about Kobe. He's just not a guy we're hearing about right now. Like, I don't think of him as being gone. I think of him as, well, like any other stars that have retired and now you going on to the second part of their lives, and some of them are public with what they do. Some are private. Some are public for a long time. Then they're private again and they come back out. But I know that's kind of how I think about Kobe when I think about him being gone. My mind kind of goes to that part of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's, we all deal with grief and suddenness. You know, there's different phases, right? You know, long protracted illnesses. Obviously, the last couple of years have just been an absolute mess. We've lost, you know, if you do the, not even the 6 degrees of separation, Jason, I mean, you're talking 3 degrees of separation, and it's an extended list of people that had been on the show, people that we've known in our professional lives at other spots. You know, we're commemorating the anniversary of losing Sekou Smith as well, right? Another guy that we'd had on the program, and I'd had him on my Sunday show a bunch. And you try to wrap your arms around it and try to, you know, you always try to figure and feel the good. Like, I remember where I was, you know, Kobe Bryant. I'd finished my show on Sunday morning and was talking to the editors about a couple of things they needed to look at, and all of a sudden on one of the screens, it popped up. And here we're getting these reports, and we all just went numb, just looking at each other going, all right, obviously this now supersedes whatever you were looking at. Keep on it, and, you know, trying to communicate back and forth. But, you know, we've lost family members, you and I, during the time doing the show together. We've had a lot of, I would say, strange circumstances around us would be a kind way to put it at times. But, you know, you grab for the good. In your case, you know, as you talk about your mom, I mean, it's, you know, the hope, you know, that, you know, that found you found your peace, you know, and could reconcile when things paused a little bit, right? As Zoe became, you know, a rock star on Fox Sports Radio. Perhaps that was the moment, taking over for me, as she did in the promo, that it all happened. But it's just that we were on air when he had his 60-point night, right? Guys jumping up and down in the hallway. It's one of the finest moments that we've had in our tenure together here at Fox Sports Radio, because it made no sense. Started the night 0-for-5, and then just kept shooting, and eventually caught fire, and you know, the people with their car flags and everything else. So, yeah, it is still just one of the sad things, because you wonder what he would have been doing now, right, and the impact that he'd be having on so many communities and in our sporting world for sure.
You know, it's funny you say that about Zoe, because I was in Jersey Mike's when I found out, and it was all-star tournament weekend for soccer. And, you know, I'm coaching the team, and we had just lost the semifinal. We were going to go play the third place game. So we had time to go eat and then get back to the field. And so I took Zoe with me and said, all right, hey, let's go get something to eat. Where do you want to go? So Jersey Mike's. All right, that's great. We'll get a sandwich and we'll go back. And I go in and I order the sandwich, and I'm waiting for them to call up our number, and I'm talking to Zoe about certain things for the third place games. Okay, so for this, we're going to try this. What do you think about this? And we're talking a little bit, and then suddenly everybody's just on their phone, and I see everybody getting it, and I'm like, what? And I see a couple go, oh, and I'm go, all right, something happened. People look at their phone, and I just get right on my phone, and I see Kobe Bryant's dead from a plane crash in Calabasas. And it was at the time when there was no other details on it. Like, the first details were, it was all his family was on the plane, and Rick Fox was on the plane. It was all this stuff.
Oh, no, like, there were a lot of reports, yeah.
But the one thing we knew was Kobe Bryant was dead, and everybody was in Jersey Mike sitting down, and we're all just looking at each other like, oh, my God. And Zoe's looking at me, and she really doesn't get it yet, because she didn't really know who Kobe Bryant was. Because at this point, you know, she knows the Lakers and she knows the Dodgers, but she didn't really, you know, grow up on Kobe Bryant. She didn't know who he was. And then I'm talking to her, and I'm trying to make sense of what's going on, and I'm telling her about things for the tournament, for the next game. And she stops. She goes, Dad. And I said, what? She goes, you're not making any sense. I don't understand anything what you're saying. I don't. And I said, I'm sorry. And I said, for how long? She goes, I don't know, the last couple of minutes. I said, okay, all right, sorry about that. Let me you know, recalibrate here for a second, because it was a Sunday, and it was still okay. You know, there was me, sports talk radio host, and doing stuff. There was also me, you know, dad daughter time going on, and there was time to go on the air and talk about it, and clearly there was going to be time for it. But at that moment, I didn't know what I was saying. She's like, Dad, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. Like, I was saying things, repeating things over and over. And it's not like I was staring at my phone and trying to talk. I was just trying to tell her things while all of this is trying to coalesce in my brain. And I just never got it. And I'll still remember the look on her face, like, my dad's losing it. What the hell is he doing? What the hell is he trying to tell me? I don't know what's going on here. And that's what that time was like. And then, of course, we get to the field, and everybody is already talking about it. And you see everybody is wearing Kobe jerseys out. They're all walking around. They're hanging this jersey out of their windows. And it was one of those surreal moments that everybody is finding this all out at the same time, even though we still didn't know a lot of the details. And it was still who was on the plane. Was it ABC had the big report that it was Kobe and all four, all of his daughters. And I was like, right away when that happened, I said, that's not true. It was a five-seater plane. Was they were saying it was a five-seater plane. Kobe's not a pilot, so there's no way that's true. And so you knew all the misinformation was coming, and you can't follow on social media because that's when you get all, a couple people say something, and then it goes crazy.
Sure.
So it was still that time, but the one thing we knew was Kobe Bryant was gone, and that whole day and everything going on, it was just an absolute blur, from that moment on until the rest of the day. I just was trying to stack both things together, what we're trying to do here on the soccer field and what's going on. And that's what everybody else on the sideline was wanting to talk about. And it was just that day is just something that I'll never forget, even though there's large patches of it that I just don't remember.
Yeah, it really was a strange time, right? The suddenness of it. Right, because we've done all the celebrations and seen him around town, and obviously a lot of courtside and doing a lot of instructing with his daughter, and we've been the investment in women's sports and all of those things that had just begun. Hell, I'd been in to the Disney Museum to see his film. Not much earlier than that. Right, my daughters and I were up in San Francisco, and we had a chance at New Year's. We were actually up there. We went and saw Harry Potter. Sorry, buddy. We went and we saw it on New Year's Eve, and we finished our trip. One of our days, we went to the Disney Family Museum, which is over by the Presidio. Fantastic old, toy, like the original toys that were for sale, like all this stuff they've amassed going back into the secondary market. Some of the old notes and drawings and everything, but they have a little movie theater, and they have two films, and we watched Fantasia, and then the second movie was, Kobe Bryant's love letter to basketball. They had some of the original sketches on display just outside of the theater, and I remember sitting there watching it and just saying, can you run it again? And the guy looked at me like, seriously? Like, both my kids had nodded off because we've been running all over the place, and we'd been in that museum like 4 hours, and a couple of folks had straggled in late, and he said, yeah, sure. And so they ran it again. So it really one that still just makes you pause, and a whole city today mourned once again.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply, so get in the zone, AutoZone. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. And we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about how Tom Brady is giving us the hints that he is retiring, just like he dropped the hints that he was going to be leaving New England. People wanted to blow it off. We told you the hints are there. The clues are there. He's giving us the clues as well, the way he is talking about last season, not talking ahead. I've talked with my family. Every day this week, there has been a clue that Brady has played his last down in the NFL. And we got another big clue today that hopefully you pay attention to. TMZ found Rob Gronkowski and said, Gronk, hey, man, all this talk about Brady. What about you, man? Are you going to play or are you going to retire?
Like, if they're like, you got to decide right now, this second, if you're playing next year, I would say no right now. It's 2 days after the season. I'd be like, no, I'm not playing. Like, way too soon. But, like, you got to give it some time. You got to rest. I would say to see how everything goes, how everything plays out.
This is a huge clue because Brady and Gronk have always been joined at the hip. When they were together in New England, their relationship, we see what it was like. They started to hold out of off-season activities together because they didn't like how things were going in New England. As pissed off as Brady was, Gronk was just as pissed off. Gronk retired to leave for a year. Then he goes back to play with Brady. Do you really think Gronk hasn't talked to Brady and knows what his plans are? Of course he has. Of course he has. And if Gronk didn't know that Brady was retiring, why wouldn't he just say, I don't know. I don't know. Talk to me in a couple weeks. I don't know. Why do you have to, if you give me the answer right now, I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. Why would he say that when he doesn't have to? Right? Because if he doesn't know about Brady's plans, and like I said, these guys are joined at the hip and maybe he's not playing anymore if Brady's not there, why would he say, if you're asking me right now, I'm retired? Why wouldn't you say, well, I'm going to wait a little bit, knowing that I'm going to wait and see what Tom's decision is going to be, then I might come back for one more year. You won't need to say it. Why would you say, if you're asking me right now, I'm retired, if you hadn't talked to Brady and you know of his plans? You could have easily just blown it off and waited until Brady made his announcement. Then you can make yours a few days later, because that's kind of how it's been for Brady and Gronk. So the fact that he said, hey, if you're asking me right now, I'm retiring, tells me he knows Brady's plan. And Brady, unless he has a big-time change of heart, in a month will announce his retirement.
Yeah, I think it was the last two lines that get me, right? The, hey, 2 days, you know, it's too soon. Like, that's what I would expect, right? I'm banged up, I'm beaten, I'm not ready to answer. But then kind of the using of the terms, you know, see how it goes and what happens, you know, that kind of phraseology. It's like, all right, you're not making this decision in a vacuum, right? Obviously, you're looking at the bigger picture, not just, hey, I'm, you know, in 3 weeks, maybe I'll feel better and I'll want to play. There was much more to the larger picture of how many other pieces leave out of this, right? The assumption that Leftwich is leaving to go coach the Jaguars. Brady's situation, quite obviously. Godwin, go on down the line. Fournette, and some of the defensive pieces. You got a lot of folks that you need to figure out either how to retain or how to replace. But just owing to that, could have just said, you know what, I got to let my body heal and rest. And as soon as he said rest, should have shut the door.
And yeah, that would have been it. But really, if he didn't know Brady's plans, why would he say he was retiring instead of saying, I don't know, let me wait a little bit? That's a big clue. You got to follow the clues, Mike Harmon. So I don't want people to be surprised when, oh, my God, I didn't see that. No, all the clues are there. We're like Benoit Blanc. I believe foul play. Oh, we got to follow the clues. Coming up next, we got a big-time story ahead of the NFC Championship game this weekend. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.